Greetings to each one in Jesus' name. Blessing to be in God's house and worship. I too was blessed with that simple last song we sang, "The Bible Stands," and sometimes in thinking about sharing a message and inspiration, it's tough to know the balance between how much to read out of the Bible and how much to say, because after all, we each have our own Bibles, so you could have just stayed home this morning and read all morning from the Bible, right? So I just appreciate that song, and yet I trust we'll find the balance in this and sharing and bringing together Scripture and inspiration. So this morning, the message is somewhat of a back-to-school message. We've kind of gotten started in a new school year. New teachers, and everyone is starting a new school year. But this is also for parents and grandparents. We all learn and teach by questions. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8 says, Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open." So the title this morning is Learning to Ask and Asking to Learn. We ask questions to know, right? And the more questions you ask, the more you learn. And the more I know, the more I know that I don't know. I remember when I was a young teenager, my sister and her family would come from Virginia, and they didn't live on a farm, and I had some very curious nephews about farm life and cows and calves and everything we did. And one of my nephews in particular was probably about 10 years younger than I was, and he was just loaded with questions, and he was, you know, "Why do you measure the milk that you put in the bucket for each calf? Why do you put straw in the calf's pen? Why do you do this? Why do you do that?" And just full of questions. And I remember asking him, I finally told him one time, I said, "Why don't you watch and see if you can figure out the answer?" And he did to some extent, but he often still asked a lot of questions. And it was interesting because he visited here this summer with his family, and he brought that up. He said he remembered me asking him that, and he said it helped him to learn to actually just think through things instead of just, you know, real simply asking. And it's he definitely was a very curious, or is, still asks a lot of questions, but he has his own hydraulic repair shop business, repairs motors and cylinders, and did some designing and such. And so those questions have brought him some answers as well. Let's turn to Matthew 19. Children start asking questions at a very, very young age. Our 14-month-old can point at my coffee cup that I use every morning, and there's some elk on it, and she, like, you know, questioning kind of voice, it sounds like that. And then I tell her it's an elk, and then she's happy. So she's asking a question, "What is that?" And I believe Jesus, in Matthew 19, verse 13, he taught us that they brought the children to him, and he said we should be like children. And I believe this is one of the reasons. In verse 13 and 14, "Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. I believe one of the reasons we should be like little children is because they have questions and innocent desire to learn and understand life. And questions give us a tremendous opportunity to teach. Questions are a necessary part of good thinking, and I would like to shift off of questions just a little bit into thinking. The reason we ask questions is because we're thinking, and we need to learn good thinking habits. So I'm going to read out of John Maxwell's book here a little bit. It says, "What kind of value do you put on good thinking? Has it been a priority in your life? I'm guessing you do think it's important, or you wouldn't be reading a book that to improve your mind right now. But have you considered thinking to be a decision and discipline to be practiced daily? Here are some reasons to make thinking a priority of your life every day. Good thinking precedes good results, or you could say good questions bring good thinking and good results. A friend sent me some interesting questions that show the funny way people sometimes think. Here are a few. How much deeper would the ocean be if sponges didn't live in them? If FedEx and UPS were to merge, would the company be called FedUp? If a bus station is where the bus stops and a train station is where the train stops, what should happen at my workstation?" Obviously, the questions aren't serious, but they do show a thinking mind at work. It doesn't matter what profession or a person pursues, thinking precedes achievement. Success doesn't come by accident. People don't repeatedly stumble into achievement and then figure it out afterwards. Whether you're a doctor, a business person, a carpenter, a teacher, or a parent, your level of success will increase dramatically if you place high value on thinking. The greater your thinking, the greater your potential. So again, we could say the more questions you ask, the greater your potential. Okay, so there's good questions, there's bad questions. Have you ever noticed that most times when if someone says, "That's a good question," you ask a question, they say, "That's a good question." It's very likely because they don't have an answer, or they don't quite know how to answer. We've all heard that seen posters or that the Bible has the answer. You really live and talk like you believe that? And maybe you've heard this: you're asking the wrong question. And we're going to look into that a little further in some of the questions that people ask Jesus. Here's something, as in maybe this would be a somewhat of an example. John F. Kennedy, a quote from him, he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Or you can put whatever you want in that. "Ask not what I can get out of school." Well, what can you put into it? Questions are meant to make us stop and think. And here's a question that I asked the school students a few years ago. Some of you might remember. It's a simple question that I think children or adults, we should ask ourselves as we're relating to life. What if everybody did that? And you put in there whatever you want, whether it's throwing your Kleenex down on the ground or deeply spiritual issues. What if everybody related the way you're relating? Now that can be overdone, but it's a good way to bring reality. Here's another question. What will you do with Jesus? I was listening to that song recently that the youth sang a few years ago about how God designed nature to do what he tells it. But as people, we are given a choice, and he will not force us. It says in that song, "I could demand your love. I own you twice. If you want me to, I'll make you whole." And then it ends with, "I give you freedom." Is it yes or no? So I'd like to look at some questions in the Bible and what we can learn from them. So the first one is in Genesis chapter 3. First question in the Bible. And it forever changed history. And we just looked at that some Wednesday night, so I'm not going to... We're not going to spend a whole lot of time here. But Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Really? Did God really say that? Did he really mean that? Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians, and it kind of gives what will happen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, with this kind of questions in our lives. Remember, there's good questions and there's bad questions, and this kind of question, I'm sure you don't have to work real hard to figure out which kind this is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll read verses 7 through 12. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And notice it says, in verse 10, they receive not the love of the truth. It doesn't even say they receive not the truth. It says they receive not the love of the truth. And then God send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So asking the wrong question to see what we can get away with will send us down the wrong path. If you are constantly asking the wrong question or what is wrong with it, you are developing a way of thinking that will eventually allow you to believe a lie. And I believe we need to help each other when we hear this happening, whether it's in school or in our home or us as adults. What's the big deal or what's wrong with it? And there's plenty of opportunities children like to ask, you know, in school, like some of the things you do in school you probably won't ever use later in life. Like famous one I remember was diagramming. Well, when are we going to diagram when we're not in school? Like, and teachers, please don't give this kind of answer. I've heard, well, when you're a teacher you'll need to teach diagramming, so you need to know how to diagram. Those kind of answers to children's questions are not a good answer. Well, no, you won't use diagramming very likely. You may use some of the structure from it sometime, but the discipline and structure that comes with it will come in handy as an adult. So there's plenty of things that you may not do later in life, but if you learn to do them and do them well in school, you will it will help you later in life. Let's turn to Matthew 22. We're going to look at quite a few questions that either Jesus asked or people asked Jesus. So this one is Matthew 22, verse 15 to 22. And it could sound like an innocent enough question, but verse 16 kind of has a beware of when you see this happening or hear this happening. Let's read verses 15 to 22. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar, or no, not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. So at first sight, it sounds like an innocent question, but when you see what they said in verse 16 and what they were actually trying to do, it wasn't. And let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it talks about these kinds of people. And I believe we need to be warned that we don't use questions to do this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 9. This know also that in the last days perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Here's the verse especially I wanted. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. We'll stop there. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Or always asking questions, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And if we, the part I wanted to bring out here is like these Pharisees, they were basically trying to asking questions to manipulate, and we need to be careful about doing that with our questions. I've heard questions asked that scream, I don't want to hear your opinion. I want to hear my opinion coming out of your mouth. And if you get good at that, you can ask questions that will make people say what you want them to say. We need to be careful. Matthew 21, verse 23 through 27. In this case, Jesus asked a question to their question. Matthew 21, verse 23 through 27. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. So I think a question, when we're asked a question with a question has its place, but we need to be careful with it. It can be a crafty way to avoid the truth. In this case, Jesus knew their hearts, and so he asked a very appropriate question, and it made them realize what they were doing. So I think it has its place, but We don't know hearts like Jesus does, and so we need to be careful. Matthew 22, verses 23 to 33 is another one. This one could maybe be called foolish and unlearned questions. Matthew 22, verse 23 through 33. We talked about the resurrection in Sunday school and what Paul did there. And these people had brought up this complicated scenario to see what Jesus would do with it. And it's impressive to see how he answered. So Matthew 22, verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which said that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. So let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 again. Or actually, we weren't in chapter 2, we were in chapter 3. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 talks about some of this type of thing. In verse 23, 2 Timothy 2, verse 23, says, But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And in verses 14 to through 23, says what we should do instead. So let's think about this, what we should be doing rather than asking questions like really... there were seven men had the same wife, you know, whose husband is she going to be in the resurrection, those kinds of worthless questions. It's in verses 14 to 23, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that are called, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Okay, let's stand and we will sing verse 15. I think you might know this as a round song. We won't sing it as a round this morning, but verse 15, let's sing it through together.
Study to show thyself approved unto God. a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay, can we see it? Okay, let's turn to Matthew 19. Another question. And the answer Jesus gave. Remember, we are learning to ask, and we are asking to learn. And I think asking questions is a great way to teach. However, there is a danger in going too far with that, and especially I'm very concerned about it when I hear parents or teachers asking their children to do something that the child needs told to do. So, you know, do you want to pick up the toys, or do you want to say your verse? That's a yes or no question. If the child says no, then what are you going to do? So I think we need to be careful about that with small children, when they need told to do something, don't pose it as a question. Matthew 19, verse 16 through 22. And I believe this was a fair question that this young ruler asked. I believe it was sincere. Verse 16 says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So as near as I can tell, this was a sincere question from this young man. What do I need to do? And Jesus asked him several more. He said, Why do you call me good? And then the young man, or I guess Jesus asked him one more, Why do you call me good? And then the young man asked a few more as Jesus taught. And Jesus very directly led him past his performance and his self-righteousness and told him the truth with statements. No, Jesus didn't ask questions to teach in this case. He gave him solid statements. And there was no him-hauling around. In verse 22, when the young man heard what Jesus said it was going to take, he went away sorrowful. And sometimes I feel like we are scared to just give straightforward Bible verses or teaching like this because we might offend someone. But look what Jesus did. He said what needed said. He didn't say, sorry, I was too blunt with you. I should have given you more time to digest this. The man asked a sincere question. Jesus gave him a straightforward answer. And let's go to Hebrews 10 as some more teaching about this. Hebrews 10, forget where, but recently we were talking about, and I think maybe it was in our tech meeting, about Protestant teaching wearing off on us some, and I think maybe this is one place where we can get a little bit, we're just scared to call out the truth and say how it is. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 31, think about what Jesus told this young man and tie these verses together. I hope you can, like it fit in my mind. Verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So I think we do our children, our youth, each other as adults a huge disfavor by when a question like this young man, he sincerely asks it, and when we feel threatened by it, or we feel, you know, like, well, we can't really, if we say the truth, it'll turn them away sorrowful. It's a great opportunity to give solid biblical answers. And I believe if we take what Hebrews 10 there and take that seriously, it will give us courage to boldly say what needs said in those kinds of situations. Let's turn to Matthew 9. Matthew 9, here is a simple yes or no question, and those are in order sometimes. Matthew 9, verse 27 through 29. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you." Now, I don't know for certain, but I believe that Jesus would have said, according to your faith be it unto you, either way they answered, whether they said yes or no. And I believe we need to ask each other this question as well. Do you believe that Jesus can meet your needs? Or maybe one that would be more, that we could do or would do would be, do you believe that victory is possible for what you are facing? And I think we should wait, just like Jesus did, for a yes or a no answer. Okay, let's turn to the Old Testament for one here. Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, out of the Jordan River, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. So again, when a question like this is asked by the children, I think we should see it as a huge opportunity, not as a threat. We could, as with diagramming, say, well, you need to know it so that when you're a teacher, you can teach it. Or as in this case, just one of those things, some old men somewhere back there got all hyped up about crossing the Jordan River, and now we need to look at this pile of rocks, and it's somehow supposed to do something for us today. I want to make my own mark in the world, not be bound by dead man's monuments or something like that. No, it's a great opportunity to do what it says in verse 24, that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. Are your children asking about monuments today? What kind of answers are you giving? Why don't we serve on the jury? Why don't we use insurance? Why do we have communion twice a year? Okay, let's turn over to Acts chapter 9. This is going to be our last example of question. Acts chapter 9. This is a question that we each daily need to ask. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. This is at Paul's when Paul was struck down on the Damascus road. Verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So daily we need to ask the Lord, what do you want me to do today? What should I do with this situation? We likely won't get struck down like he did, but we need to have that same question. And there's a good chance we'll get the same answer. See what Jesus said? Go into the city and it shall be told thee what thou must do. He didn't say you're going to be asked if you want to do whatever. He said, you're going to be told what you should do. So if you go through life asking the right kind of questions, you will find solid answers that will bring you to the right place. For some closing verses, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And it doesn't talk about questions here, but it does say your requests. So I would like to think about that as questions or your requests, whether you're children or youth or adults with questions. In verse 6, toward the end there, it says, Let your requests be made known unto God. So think about that as a question. Let's read verses, so Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's kneel for prayer.